I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Guitar Nerds is sponsored by Music Nomad, our favorite guitar maintenance tool manufacturing masters. You should check them out on musicnomadcare.com or on social media with @musicnomadcare. Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast, the world's number one guitar podcast. I am your host, Joe Branton, joined this week by Matt Knight.
Guess who's back, baby?
And Jay Cross.
Hi, Joe. Great to be here.
Yes, indeed. It is. It is lovely to have you back. I feel like it's the first time that I've had you back in like maybe 6 weeks, Jay.
You know what they say, Joe. Absence makes the heart grow fonder.
It so, does.
Fingers crossed. What I can say is that 6 weeks wasn't enough, and I still don't love you, but hopefully we'll give it another 8 weeks and then we'll see where we're at.
Well, I missed you like the desserts missed Lorraine.
Like what?
Like the desserts missed Lorraine. What they sing in that song. And I miss you, yeah. Like the deserts miss Lorraine.
Okay. Right, remember? Okay. Yeah, of course.
Oh, dear.
Yeah,
this exactly. Is why I haven't been on. No.
Well, you, Matt Knight, you've had 3 weeks off. You've had a glorious honeymoon period after your wedding.
I think it's been 4 weeks, Joe.
Has it been 4 weeks, Matt?
I think so.
My goodness.
We're at the end of March already. Can you believe it? Mm. Can you believe where the time has gone?
I cannot.
Was away because I had some important things to do, like get married and that. That was over quickly.
I'm sorry to hear it.
Yes, it's all over. I got married and then caught COVID. And as someone said, congratulations and condolences, but I don't know in which order I should give them. it's a month has absolutely just disappeared. But it's good to be back. I've been looking forward to talking about guitars and that. So I really hope this podcast is filled with guitar mania.
Well, it will be. It's been very exciting. There've been lots of like a major new releases over the last few weeks, so that's we'll talk about those at some point on the podcast. But we're gonna try and shoehorn some guitar talk into talking about your wedding, Matt Knight. Because dear listener, if you join Guitar Nerds on Facebook, on the Guitar Nerds group on Facebook, join it if you're not already there, dear listener. You should. It's good. We did share a little video clip and also discuss this, but at Matt Knight's wedding, myself, Jay Cross, and
the
other one, podcast original host Mark Packham, were all made a rather last minute emergency best men for Matt's wedding, which was exciting. And I was made even more last minute master of ceremony.
I particularly liked that aspect of it because I don't know if you clocked this at the time, Joe, but the lady who was in charge of the whole thing came up to me and asked me to do it. And I immediately fucked it straight over to you. And I thought you did a really good job, actually. I thought it was, you did a very good job, much better than I would have done. And yeah, top work.
Thanks. It was difficult because I was sober, obviously. I've been drinking non-alcoholic beer. I did have a drink later on in the wedding.
Yeah, but because Matt had asked us to do a speech and, you know, it's his wedding day, we didn't want to balls it up. So Mark, Joe and I took it really, really easy on the booze. Like, I felt completely fine. I was stone cold sober by the time I got home, got back to the Airbnb. But it was such a lovely day, Matt, really. And you know, I know that you've started to get the photos back through, and you know, it was such an honor to be a part of it.
There's some great photos, especially of Mark Packham. Seems to have really captured the day in a few great faces.
Oh, fantastic.
Everyone loved the podcast. A few people signed up.
Let's clarify what you're talking about there, Matt. When Jay, Mark and myself delivered the best man speech, because we only had an evening to write it, so we should explain that. Matt, your best man got COVID the day before your wedding.
Yeah, really, really unfortunate timing. But yes, he called in sick the day before the wedding, the Friday. Unbelievable timing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So very, very last minute. So I think the morning, the day before, you called Jay Cross to ask Jay if Jay, myself and Mark would step in as emergency backup best men for the speech in particular, and Jay then contacted us. I of course didn't believe you for some time, Jay. Of course, you had to show me proof that Matt had actually called you before I entertained it.
Yeah, that is a huge difference between you and me, because that's absolutely the sort of joke that you would pull on someone. You'd be like, oh no, Matt's called. And Adam's got COVID, so he needs you to step in. Oh, he couldn't get hold of you, so yeah, if you could just write a speech, that'd be amazing. And then we'd get there, and then all of a sudden, of course, nobody was ill, and you've made me stress out for no reason. That's exactly the sort of gag that you would pull on someone. But
exactly, yes.
But no, it was. But it was very good. But yeah, obviously, we did the only thing, literally the only thing that any of us know how to do, which is did a speech in the form of a podcast. So we did the Matt and Amy's Wedding Nerds podcast, and it was fun. It was really fun.
We included the intro music to the podcast. We even had the old news jingle and the questions jingle in there. We delivered the whole thing. It was rather good. Obviously, we'd swapped out the subject matter to be about Matt and Amy rather than about guitars, but we did it absolutely in the podcast format. And honestly, we spent the rest. I certainly spent the rest of that day. People coming up to me being like, "Oh yeah, I'm going to listen to the Guitar Nerds podcast." So I'm like, I'm really glad I've used my friend's wedding as basically an advertising platform for my business.
As a promotion, but that I think it was funny because when we were standing in the room where me and Amy had the ceremony, I was standing with I think you and Jay and Mark, and there was a table there, and I was like, wouldn't it be great if instead of Amy walking down the aisle, we were just like, yeah, before everything starts, like, we're just going to do a quick podcast. And then we did a podcast, you know, in front of everyone, the audience, and then Jay, you were like, that'd be funny, wouldn't it? And then obviously that ended up being the best man speech, which, yes, was fantastic. And it summed us all up, I think.
Yeah. I think it says a lot about how you remember the day there, Matty, by referring to your wedding guests as the audience.
Matt's cough there, a little bit of COVID cough still lingering. Wait, how many days after your COVID?
48 hours.
Oh, what, since you've tested negative?
Oh, no, that was after the wedding.
Oh, no, right, sorry. I meant right now. It's been quite a few days.
Oh, it's been quite a few days now, yeah. Yeah.
You've still got a bit of a lingering.
Get vaxxed, my friends.
The other thing, of course, that Matt, you didn't, I don't think you knew this, but of course, when we decided to write this speech, me, me, Mark, and Jay, and our partners were all staying in one big Airbnb together just round the corner. And we all got there, decided to go out for dinner, and then afterwards we thought we'd write the best man speech together after a few drinks, which was which took longer, I think, than we expected it to. But the entire thing was almost completely hindered as I managed to leave my Guitar Nerd's laptop with all of the information and everything ever that's ever been on this podcast at the pub that we went to for dinner.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
And I didn't realize until we'd got back to the Airbnb and I had to tell Emma and race back out to the pub to hope that my laptop was still there on the table, which it was, very fortunately.
That is very, very lucky. Very yes. Lucky indeed. But yeah, no, it was a great speech. It was a great day. And the biggest worry for me was the fact that 50% of the people coming were a musician in some form. There's certainly a large portion of us that works in the industry or are musicians. Was like, I hope this band is good. I'm being judged. But that was the band was the first thing that we booked. So I think this was going back to, so we got engaged in November 2020. God, feels like long ago. And then yeah, we started booking things in the February of 2021. I think it was one of the first things that we booked. And even then, bear in mind that most musicians had a year of not working. Loads of people I know who are in the industry or in functions bands were like, oh, I'm really sorry, but like, I'm a postman now, or I had to take up a job being a delivery driver. And it's really heartbreaking. You know, the amount of people just like, yeah, I cannot be a musician anymore because there is no work for me. And, you know, even worse that it went on for like another year. But it was the first thing that we booked, and I'm glad we found them. But I'm like, you don't get to see them beforehand, didn't get to see them perform. They were all basically working like other jobs until, you know, things opened up again. But they were really good, despite the fact that, unfortunately, they didn't look at where the wedding was until the day before and then realised it was a five-hour drive. So I know for maybe some American listeners, 5 hours, you know, probably nothing. But in the UK, that's basically...
On our little windy roads, that's a long old way.
Basically, they had to go from one side of the country to the other. But I think they pulled a blinder of a set.
It was a very good set. Although the thing that I thought shocked me most, because they were very good, Matt, it was a good choice, but how on earth, considering the amount of musicians that were there, considering your job, considering who we are, did you manage to book a band who don't play with amplifiers?
Yeah, that was, I don't think that was the interesting thing, really, is they sort of turned up. I didn't really see them unload or sound check. And then, like, when they'd finished the sound check, I went up and I was like, there's only a drum kit on stage and like one guitarist's pedal board. This is a bit weird. And then like a laptop. And yeah, they were, I mean, I thought the sound was absolutely, you know, very, very well polished functions band. And I was like, yeah, they've kind of nailed that, really. I think they all had in-ears as well, like real pro setup. But yeah, no amps on stage. It's basically the only thing you could hear on stage was the sound of a live drum kit, but they'd balanced and mixed the sound out of the PA so well. I was like, it sounded really pro.
It was very good. And, you know, the thing that actually surprised me the most is when we've seen, so they've got a big mixer on stage, they've got a laptop, there's the guitarist pedal board, but there are no amps. So we know we know at this point, you know, they're either running plugins or there's a preamp pedal that the guitarist is using. I don't know, maybe GT1000, maybe it's a Core, maybe it's a Helix, maybe it's Axe FX, something like that. No, it was a Sansamp Liverpool. Which is that thing's been around forever. That thing predates the sort of IR revolution and the sort of pedal board. No, it predates silent stage-ness. Hello and welcome back to One Hot Minute, the segment where each week I take a minute of your podcast listening time to demo a piece of gear that I'm excited about. This week I'm checking out the brand new Worm 2 Distortion from KMA Audio Machines. The Worm 2 is an updated version of the KMA Worm, packing an HM2 style distortion pedal into a neat little enclosure with top mounted jacks, and now in the traditional black and orange colour coding of the pedal that inspired it. The Worm 2 really takes the HM2 style distortion to the next level. They've added two additional bands of EQ in low and high mids, so tailoring your tone is much easier and a fair. And I find when you're dealing with as much high gain as there is in this sort of a pedal, then really having the ability to shape things is very important. They've also included a handy little switch to switch between EQ voicings for the pedal. One HM2 style with kicked mids and one KMA style with a broader, deeper palette for easier tone shaping without so much gnarliness. And one stacked HM2 and KMA voicing for some wildly oscillatory, metally madness. In this sound clip, I've used a mix of all three voicings running a Harmony Silhouette with mini humbuckers into a Neural DSP Corey Wong Clean Amp preset in my DAW. The Worm 2 is the only effects pedal in the chain. I've added no post EQ, no reverbs, no delays, no extra bass or keys. The Worm 2 is doing all the heavy lifting and doing a great job of it. KMA Worm 2, an absolute blast for anyone looking for that thick, fat, versatile, classic distortion tone with added bells and whistles and a neat footprint for modern pedal boards. Now, let's get back to the podcast.
Yeah, it was good. It was a very basic board. I can't remember exactly what was on there, but it was, you know, it was like a TC Flashback and like a Tube Screamer, I think. And, oh no, there was an OCD full drive, and then like a couple of other bits and bobs, and then the Liverpool. But it was funny just before they started, we got totally busted because me and Joe and Matt and a couple of other people who Matt works with And then, you know, just some other people who know a lot about guitars it's so embarrassing, got caught looking at the pedal boards.
Classic, absolutely classic.
So pathetic. And they came over and they were like, everything all right there, lads? And I was just like, I thought I'd give you a heads up, but like basically everybody here works for a guitar company, so we should really like looking at gear. And they were like, oh, right, oh, cool, okay. No pressure then. Probably. But no, it did sound good. It did sound good.
Yeah. I think, it was just, that obviously, you know, that's what they live and breathe and they do it all the time. And yeah, it's got the sound just kind of really good. And I think it sort of highlights that, you know, when I'm playing at home and I've got like a massive pedal board, loads of pedals, I'm like, yeah, it feels good because I've got all this cool stuff in front of me.
Yeah.
But actually, if you're being practical, that's why you just have a Sansamp Liverpool and a couple of pedals and you go straight into a PA system, because you're like,
yeah,
I'm doing a job and I'm getting paid, not I'm making whirly space noises in my bedroom for my cat.
I want that on a t-shirt.
Yeah. He doesn't, my cat doesn't mind the whirly space noises. He's taken to coming in to the bedroom where I play and then sitting on my chair. So he'll sit on my chair next to me now. I'm like, oh, I'll just serenade you with this Ebo going through four delay pedals.
Your biggest ever audience.
Yeah, literally one cat. It's brilliant. It's brilliant. But yeah, they were really good. And again, just I think it just highlighted how a good functions band can just really carry an evening and make it engaging. And it was just interesting to see the gear from that perspective, although I definitely was obviously too busy being like, I got married today, rather than like, oh, that Sansamp sounds really good. But looking back on it, I was like, oh, we definitely don't see enough rigs of people in functions band to go, is this what everyone's using these days?
Yeah, exactly. It's so very different from the sort of like the, you know, the last gig that I played, that Jay, you came to see, the headlining band for that gig were running synths through 2 810s going through big 1,000 watt PV head on each 810. You know, it's a very different rig.
Nice. Yes, very different rig. Although I, after you played, I went home and watched it today.
Yeah, that's,
so, you know.
Yes, that's a completely reasonable reaction to seeing my band is leaving the venue. That's fine.
I mean, how could anybody possibly top it, Joe? That's the thing, you know.
Exactly. Now, last week, the podcast came out after the wedding, so it should have been a live episode, but I pre-recorded last week's episode with Blake because I was supposed to be on tour in Ireland. But the band that we were touring with, one of them got COVID the day before we were supposed to go. And they're only a two-piece, so, you know, that's half the band. So the whole thing ended up being cancelled, so I didn't get to go on tour. Which is partially good because I wanted to take apart my pedal board and redo it anyway. So I feel better.
That was going to take a week. So exactly. I managed to clear a week in my schedule so that I could redo my pedal train.
Yeah, pedal train. I don't use that. I use what do I use? A Friedman. I have a Friedman board.
Sorry, Joe. Sorry, it won't happen again.
Yeah, and a custom pedal boards board as well. But yes, yeah, pedal train, unbelievable. But it was good that I was at home because I was at home to receive a Boss Next One artist or Next Tone artist.
That's what I was doing when I was sick, Joe.
Sending out Next Tones to me.
Yeah, sending out gear to people.
Yes, no, Matt sent a Boss Next Tone to me for consideration, because dear listener, you'll remember I've been planning my guitarist Tim's 40th birthday present, and so I got him one of those big 212 Fender bass breaker 40, is it the 40? I can't remember what it is now. I got that. It's the heaviest amplifier in the world.
Yeah,
I feel like I have...
So the 1830 is the one that you got, isn't it?
That's the one I got. Yeah. I got the 1830. It's really heavy, and it's bigger than I thought it was as well. It's
isn't there 2x12?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know how big those are, right?
Yeah, but it's a big 2x12. Like,
at least 24 inches.
It's a big old 2x12. Yes, yeah. But I was like, oh, this sounds good, but it is, yeah, it is very big and very heavy. So I don't know if I've made the right decision for Tim. So I don't have long left. It's like next week. But Matt sent me for consideration a Boss Nextone Artist, because of course the great thing about the Nextone Artist is, unlike, you know, a normal sort of modeling amp like GT or Helix or something, what the Nextone models is power amp valve. So you get four options, two American, two British. What are they? I can't remember what they are. What do you get? 6L6s.
6L6.
6V6s. And then you get EL84 and EL34. So essentially with the EL84, you've got something that's very Vox-esque, which was kind of the tone that I was looking for Tim, as he loved the sound of a vintage Vox AC30, but didn't want to get an old one because he didn't trust it to tour. And I was looking for sort of rugged, reliable alternatives. Of course, the Fender Bassbreaker is an EL84 loaded Fender amp, so it's going to be more Vox-esque in its tone. And of course, that's very much an option on the Nextone. I am very impressed with the Nextone. It sounds really good, Matt.
Yeah, it's definitely underrated. I think a lot of people, I think it's one of those things you sort of have to go and try. I think if you read it on paper, it all sounds very fancy, but, you know, a lot of what's in that, and I think the same can be said for something like the Katana. It's like the kind of the feel and response of it, the way that the power amp makes a big difference to the way it sounds. And I think, you know, it's also one of those things that, because it's class AB, you kind of have to crank it, and that's why the power attenuator is on there. And by cranking it and open up that power amp, it's got that sort of big dynamic headroom. But yeah, the Nextone for me is, you know, really good. And the fact that the most recent update, you can go in there and adjust things like power amp sag and bias and you know, really, I think we were kind of saying, like, be your own amp tech in some ways. You can really go in and kind of just tweak it exactly how you want. And for me, it's just, once you've done that, it's very set and forget. I don't think I'd ever dive into it every time I plugged it in. I would find one or two settings that I would use, and then
that's it. No, Matt, no. If you were in a functions band, you'd be addressing the sag of the power amp tubes for every different song.
Oh yeah, for every chorus. And oh no, sorry, can we just stop there?
Sorry guys, if I could just have a sec, I just need to rebias my amplifier.
Yeah, rebias my my analog no valve amplifier. Just got to do a factory reset on it.
Anyone got the Wi-Fi?
Yeah, has anyone got the Wi-Fi? I've just got to hook it up to my iPad.
iZotope and Native Instruments have teamed up to create the start-to-finish bundle that home recording guitar nerds have been waiting for. Plus, you, dear listener, get an extra 10% off with Guitar Nerds by using discount code NERDS10 at the checkout on iZotope.com. From the creative spark to the final touch, their new bundles include pretty much everything you could possibly need, which is great because it's far too easy to sink hundreds of pounds and a big chunk of your time into just picking up random plugins. The Music Production Suite 4.1 and Complete 13 bundle contains over 30 intelligent mixing, mastering and repair plugins, 65 premium instruments, 20 plus expansions and over 35,000 sounds. And if that's a bit basic for you, they've also bundled Music Production Suite 4.1 with Complete 13 Ultimate, which gives you everything that makes Complete 13 incredible, plus a colossal library of added synths, sampled instruments and effects, 115 plus premium instruments and effects, 39 native instruments expansions and over 65,000 sounds. Whew. It sounds like a lot. It is. It's very good, very comprehensive. And as we've come to expect from iZotope, it's very good value. If you're looking to get into home recording, I cannot recommend it more highly. And if you're already into home recording, it really is the one-stop shop for making what you do sound better. This podcast is entirely treated and produced using iZotope plugins, and Native Instruments have been responsible for almost every synth or sample you've heard on our Guitar Nerds jingles. Check out their great new bundles on iZotope.com or follow links in the description of this podcast and use discount code NERDS10 at the checkout for 10% off anything in the iZotope arsenal. but that I think you know, you hit the nail on the head when you say like the feel and the way the amp reacts is very, very organic and valvey feeling. I was surprised to get that. I thought tonally, sure, it's going to be warm and loud and dynamic. I'm sure that it will nail that edge of breakup thing, but I was surprised at just how much, and especially because of course you've got attenuation, but especially I thought at like high volumes you get just a very, very valvey feel from the next tone. I really expected to be like, this is great. I really didn't expect to be like, oh, this is really bloody great. Like a really, really strong argument against valves, you know, from the next tone. I wish it looked a bit more classic. I mean, I know that wouldn't be Boss's thing, especially, but I wish the looks echoed the way this amp sounds, which is like an old valve amp.
Yeah,
it is very cool. I was also a little confused, and I'm sure that this is me, that there must be something on it, but the control that says delay controls tremolo. I'm sure that's something that you can switch between the two.
Yeah, you just press the little button. And right. I think it's set per preset, so you can either have trem or delay.
Right, yeah. Because obviously, I didn't want delay. I wanted trem.
If you've got something like a Vox, you can obviously have like a boost and also have tremolo on there. But yeah, one of the guys in my team at work did a shootout in a studio with a couple of similar amps like a Vox and things like that. And you know, audibly, you know, just like everything, like we were speaking just before the podcast, things like plugins and stuff, like audibly now, you know, you can record that and they sound so similar to what we say is the real thing. But if you're the one sitting there and playing it, I think that's the important thing. And it comes down to the same thing we were saying with the functions band and plugging straight into the PA is functionality versus just feel and enjoyment, you know?
Yeah.
Joe's saying yes, but he doesn't agree with you at all there, Matt, because we're talking about a man who carries around a 300 watt bass amp to play in front of 100 people.
One watt per person, that's my rule.
Yeah.
I haven't toured that two-man lift valve amp in some time.
What's that? Because you've exhausted all the muscles of anybody who's been willing to help you. Is that why?
That is actually exactly why. Yeah,
there's not more than two men in the show. That's always the problem.
That's very true. That's very true. So I'm really impressed with this. I'm concerned about the size and weight of the bass breaker, but I feel like I'm in a position now where I might just present him with stuff and let him choose, and then I'll just like, you know, flog the things that he doesn't choose. Obviously I wouldn't flog the next tone map.
Yeah, just casually sell the stuff that I sent you. That's fine.
For great deals, check out Harlequin Guitar Shop on Reverb.
Great deals on yet to be released Boss products. So those are strong options. What do you think about Vox AC15? Are Vox AC15s giggably loud? And I don't mean like they're just about giggably loud. Do you reckon they're giggably loud for a loud band?
Who's that question to?
I mean, either of you. I think so. I think a 15 watt amp is probably okay. It depends what you're doing with it. I think especially with something like that, it depends what you're doing with it. But like, you know, we used to sell loads of AC15s and Blues Juniors to people in the shop, and you know, stuff gets mic'd up now. All mic'd up, and whether you want it to or not, I'm sure your gear's getting mic'd up all the time when you're playing.
Oh, of course, absolutely. Well, you know, with the Katanas, a lot of the time they use the direct.
They're going straight out. Yeah, of course. But I mean, you know, if you were using a valve amp, when you were using a valve amp before you got the Katanas, when you were using the Oranges is what you were using mainly, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And I bet it was always mic'd up.
Of course.
They were saying, and you'd say, well, can we not mic it up? Can we just, you know, play a bit louder? And they'd say, no.
Yeah, but of course. Yeah, it's always being mic'd up. But, you know, like single 12s like that, they can sound a little bit boxy when they're sort of lower wattages and it's just a single speaker and stuff like that. So I
maybe, guess... but I think with your band, there's there's so much stuff going on. I'm, do you know what I mean? Like, because you've got so, there's, you know, there's five people on stage all playing pretty different instruments. Wait, is there five people on? Five people all playing, you know, pretty different instruments. I mean, obviously you're the superfluous one in the band, but like, you know, you've got the sax player on one side and you've got
the superb one in the band.
Sorry, is that not what I said? Sorry, that is what I meant. You've got the sax player on one side and the keys player on the other side making, you know, there's a lot going on. So when you say it sounds a bit boxy, I'm not sure that I agree with that. I think there's so much going on with all of the band. It's you can, yeah. I don't know. I don't really know what I'm trying to say, to be honest with you. But
okay. But you think it's enough? You think that a 15 would be fine?
Yeah.
What do you think, Matt Knight?
It's, well, 30 watts is not twice as loud as 15, is it?
No.
So it's really about headroom and I guess in some ways usable volume, because I was watching that pedal show on Friday, and they were using an AC30, an old one, but they were like, once you get past 2 o'clock, there's nothing more in the volume control.
Yeah.
It just kind of just sounds crap after that point. It's just like overload. There's no real extra volume. So I think it really depends on, again, just how much headroom you want. Like, I'd play with a 30 if I wanted on stage volume, but more headroom. A 15 will break up more. And if you're using a relatively high output guitar, perhaps maybe it's going to be a little bit more compressed early on. So if it was me and I had the choice between either, I would rather have a 30, because I don't think the volume difference is going to be that great, but it will be the kind of headroom. And I guess
dynamics and your
dynamics.
Options.
And I guess if you're using, if you were just like a, you know, dare I say like a blues rocker, and you were just going to have like a delay pedal going straight into the front end, and you kind of want it to be a bit gritty and all that sort of stuff, then I think 15 would be great. But I think if you're using a lot of pedals and drive is coming from a lot of your pedals, then I think the 30 would be a better choice.
Yeah, maybe. I think Matt's made a convincing argument there. Maybe you're right.
But then again, you know, you do mic a lot of stuff up, but, you know, I guess that can vary from venue to venue and how good the sound person is in terms of giving you enough monitor feed and this, that, and the other. But I think you'd get more benefit out of a 30, personally.
Right.
I'm not trying to make this the Matt versus Jay show by any means, but like, what about the Tone Master?
Yes, the Tone Master is actually also an option. I was going to buy him the 112 version, which is
the deluxe.
Yeah. I was thinking about getting him that. That's definitely an option. It's funny because for how positive I am about things like Katana and Nextone and, you know, the Tone Master stuff, I guess when push came to shove, it certainly came into my mind. It was on my mind the amount of money I was spending for something that wasn't Valve. Only because Tim was moving off of a Katana, which costs, you know, 200 quid, onto, you know, something else that is the same makeup but voiced differently for 900 quid. You know, it was, I know there's so much more to it than that, but there was a part of me being like, oh, is that where the money should be going? But it's definitely a consideration. You know, it's not just that. With the Fender, it was more that Tim's never really gone for deluxe.
For that, yeah.
Even though the AC15, I think you can get very, very similar tones. It would be the most expensive option for Tim, and probably the only amp that I'd get.
Well, also, it sounds like
something.
it also sounds like it would be the most expensive option for you. It sounds like you're buying this for Tim. So, you know, it's...
Yes, yeah. Yeah, that's... When I'm sort of... Now I'm looking at sort of purchasing three or so amps. You know, admittedly, I'll sell the ones that... obviously, Matt hasn't loaned me. I'll sell off the ones that I've bought again afterwards. It's still a big chunk of money to be out of pocket at one time. So I don't know. So, you know, the reluctance on the AC30 was, again, the same reason that I was like, ooh, about the bass breaker when it finally turned up, was just the sort of weight size issue. But I don't
know. Just go back to, just go and get a Hot Rod Deluxe. Live that touring band life. You know, come on, Joe, you're a touring band. Get the amp that touring bands have, which is a 1998... Hot Rod Deluxe. That's the one that you want.
The time has come on this week's podcast to hear some gear. So let's check out some of the complete amplification and effects solutions available from Neural DSP and their plugins. We've teamed up with Neural DSP a bunch over the last year or two. Matt and I are big fans of what they do, and we'd like you to become a part of that. So use discount code, that's right, it's a discount code, GuitarNerds at NeuralDSP.com for 30%, a whopping 30% off of any of their plugins. It's worth noting that you get a 14-day free trial with any of their plugins with no credit card required. So if you just want to see what all the fuss is about, you've got a whole 2 weeks on them with any of their amps and effects. Now, this week, I'm checking out the Omega Ampworks Granifier plugin suite. Now, Neural DSP described this suite as providing everything from dirty blues to crushing metal. This dark horse is sure to surprise you. And it sure did surprise me. I'm buzzing whilst I'm recording this little ad. It's such a simple suite. It's one amp head based on the Omega Ampworks Granifier, one pedal, which the Earthquaker device's plumes, and yet I'm probably going to switch to using this amp for everything. The depth of tone, the articulation, the great low gain and high gain tones, the massive amount of fantastic artist and Neural DSP presets. It gave me a surprisingly vast collection of drive tones that I think are literally going to cover me for everything I do. Here's a track I built using only presets from the Omega suite. That's the Omega Ampworks Granifier plugin suite from Neural DSP. Check it out on neuraldsp.com and use discount code GuitarNerds at the checkout for 30% off any of their amp and effects plugins. That's it. That's the solution, I think. That is it. Well, before I wanted to talk about the Bronkhoff. Before we talk about news, I want to talk about the Bronkhoff
results. Oh, your stunning victory.
But actually, quickly before I do, I wanted to talk about patrons for a second. I want to welcome back Ryan McDermott, who joins us once again at the $10 tier. Thank you, Ryan, and welcome back. Ryan did also message me to say he's decided to get back on the Patreon solely because I said I was going to support the Philadelphia Phillies. And he's a lifelong fan.
Really?
Well, last week we had an episode with me and Blake, and I was like, I'm going to get into baseball, mostly because of the outfits, because they're vintage correct. You know, they still have button up jerseys, hickory bats. I'm into the aesthetic of this sport. You know, it hasn't modernized with the other sports. So I've decided, as I'm moving more and more to making all things in my life vintage correct, the sports I follow should echo that.
Right. So, okay. So, and what is it about the Phillies then?
Oh, well, no, it's just because I wanted to support a baseball team, and I thought it would be best to support one where I knew someone who supported that team, and Maddie supports the Philadelphia Phillies. So I assume you do as well, Jay.
Yeah, I mean, as much as I sort of... I've been to see the Phillies a few times. It's a really... It's so funny, right? The difference between baseball and soccer... for want of a better word, it's so different. Like baseball is such a kind of family orientated day out,
right,
and you go to a football match and it's, you know, not as much as it would be nice if it is, but it's just, it's so odd that baseball is very stop start. There's 9 innings. And each team has a go at batting. So there's 18, like, stop-start points, basically. And so there's a lot of time where not a lot's going on. And they have all of these weird things that happen whilst the team is sort of getting into position or turning around. Like, they'll come out with a T-shirt cannon and fire T-shirts out into the crowd. Or... they'll do the kiss cam, where they'll just go around and find people who look like they're a couple and project them onto the big screen, and then they kiss, and then everyone cheers, and then they'll have like a big dance off. And, you know, coming into these things as a quite cynical British person, I'm just like, what is wrong with you lot? Like, what? We just wouldn't imagine that happening at Wembley during an England game. Do you know what I mean? Like, the kiss cam comes on. It would just be, everyone would be booing. It would just be absurd. But no, I've been to the Phillies a few times, and it is a very, very fun day out. It's really fun. Have you seen the Philly Fanatic, who's their mascot?
Yes, I watch It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. So
okay,
I am familiar with the Fanatic. With and the Green Fanatic, Man, of course.
No, Gritty is the... So the Fanatic is the green guy, and then Gritty is the mascot of the Flyers, which is the ice hockey team.
Right, I see. I've got it.
Which is a lot of fun. And the Sixers are doing really well as well. I mean, I think the basketball team, I went and watched them when they were in... we won't turn this into an American sports podcast. I'm sure you did a lot of that with Blake, but the Sixers went through a very... kind of self-induced downward period where they basically like were sort of deliberately bad for a while, because it meant that they would get better in the long term. The whole thing was about
like Moneyball, I understand.
Yeah. And I saw the last time I saw them was very much in the depths of them being utterly, utterly dreadful.
Right.
And the match finished with a buzzer beater for the other team. It felt like I was watching and supporting the bad guys in Space Jam. Cool that you're getting into it, because it is a lot of fun.
Well, the most important thing about the sport, obviously, is the dress code. And Ryan was kind enough to send me this link to something called Ebbets.com, and it's Ebbets Field Flannels. And they do vintage correct jerseys and caps throughout the years. So you can find, cool old, I can shop flannels. I don't know why they call them flannels. It's what you wash your face with. But
flannels are like a shirt.
Is that what they call them?
Flannel shirts, right?
Flannels, yeah.
Is that what you mean?
I guess so. But it's awesome. They've got all like cool old kits. They've got like some Tokyo team, the correct kit from 1936.
Wow.
For $235.
Think of all the pedals you could buy.
Well, the last thing I'll say about baseball, and I'm sure that American listeners are like imagining my like kind of washed, my watered down impression of going to the Phillies. I mean, Maddie, my girlfriend, who is from Philadelphia, she says that like the experience that I've had of going to the Phillies is very different to what it was like when she would go with her parents when she was a kid, because like people from Philadelphia are known as being like quite brash and not very forgiving. And quite often players would have like batteries thrown at them and stuff like that.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty full on.
Wow.
So, but yeah, there we go.
Guitar Nerds are teaming up with Music Nomad, and I really think, nerds, you need to check out musicnomadcare.com. We've spoken about all their wonderful guitar maintenance products on the podcast, and I really can't emphasize how important it is to look after your gear and how easy Music Nomad make that for you with things like their how-to advice center and their setup hub. Music Nomad have been around for a little over 10 years, and in that time they've become one of the most recognized brands for guitar tech gear. They're available worldwide in every guitar store you can think to name, and it's for a good reason. All their products are professional grade quality. Every tool, and even the cases the tools come in, are designed for proper, rugged, on the road use. Make sure you check out what all the buzz is around Music Nomad, as they are redefining and raising the bar for equipment care. Learn more at musicnomadcare.com or follow them on social media with @musicnomadcare.
Well, yes, I'm going to get into that. Thank you, Ryan, for rejoining us on our Patreon top tier. So we did the Bronco, you know, week before last. That was great. You know, I'd spent, you know, a bunch of time and effort, dear listener, putting the Bronco together and getting everyone to make their Broncos. I put the vote out. So sure of myself in my victory. And I've come last. I've got the least amount of votes on the poll, both on Patreon and on Facebook, for my Purple Haze Jazzmaster Jazz Bass Pickup Loaded Bronco.
How do you feel about it, Joe? Are you a bit disappointed?
I am disappointed I came third. I thought I was going to be pipped. You know, I thought it was going to be maybe first, maybe second. I thought me being the main host would maybe, you know, people would vote for me just because I'm me. But no.
No.
I got none of that. But
I mean, the way I voted was I looked at who was in second.
Right.
And at that point it was JD.
Yes.
So I voted for JD to push you further into last.
Yes, yeah, I think...
Because, you know, I also thought that Hermes was the best, but, yeah, well, you know, I was... Now you know how I feel, being on the receiving end of you and your Gear of the Year tactical voting. I was tactically voting you further into the last position.
Yes, I see. Well, yes, I mean, I finished, I think, with maybe less than 20 votes. JD with maybe 10 or so more than me, and with like 100, over 100 votes, Naomi's taking first place, which only proves to show me one thing, dear listener. You are all very vulgar. If a sparkly finish is enough to get you guys voting for it, ugh, that is tasteless. Tasteless.
I'll remember that, Joe. I'll remember that the next time if we ever talk about any guitars again, and you say, oh, look at this though, it's in blue sparkle.
It's true. Fair enough. The most annoying thing for me is I only went for this flipping colour because I thought it would win. If I'd have been making, I hate it. If I'd have been making it for me, it would have been black or sunburst. But I was sure I'd lose with one of those colours.
Oh dear. Great stuff.
So there you go. So I've got like some firewood Bronco here. No, it's fine. I'm now going to turn it into a bass that I actually want. So I am having it refinished into a colour that I like. And I'm also having the neck vintage tinted and vintage lacquered. So I am going to turn it into a very nice, a bit more stylish of an instrument, I think, now. Because I do agree, in fact, dear listener, with the voting. Naomi absolutely won. It was a gorgeous... I thought the mix of having the copper colour but the large flake sparkle was actually fantastic, because it was kind of a subtle-ish colour but with a wonderful sparkle. Like, sometimes you go for the brighter colours, they can be a bit much. This was a nice level of bling. With the perloid plate, the cream perloid plate, and, of course, the Mojo pickups, that Dyna bass pickup is the very pickup that I have in my Fidelity bass. I think it sounds absolutely amazing. So all round, it was a very, very good instrument. But yeah, there you go. That's the old Bronkoff. So,
and just Joe, where did you get them? Where did you get them finished in the end? Who did the?
We had them done by a company that actually that went under shortly after. So it wasn't because they refinished our instruments.
They
shut their doors now. So it's not somewhere that you can get anything done anymore. But I'll be getting my refinishing done with Graham.
Yes. The man, the legend.
Yes, Graham Wheeler, who did a wonderful two-tone sunburst on my 59 Precision bass. So I think I'm probably going to ask for exactly the same finish and two-tone sunburst on this little Bronco, which I think will look great.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah, I must admit there was there's so many good options. You know, I think it's just, as we've said before, such a cool modding instrument, isn't it, to kind of have a go at tweaking. If I'm being perfectly honest, Joe, and sorry to JD, I mean, I still would have said Naomi's was the best, but I would have put you second, Joe. Just putting
oh,
out there.
Oh, thank you.
Just putting out there.
Thank you very much. Well, you know, you like blingy things, Matt. You like pastel coloured stuff. So I'm not surprised that JD's was last on your list. The Battleship Grey isn't really your vibe, I don't feel. But,
it is not. It is not. no. But I thought the colour that Naomi had was really good. And again, just still so many other options that you could have had. But I thought overall, pretty good.
Yes, I agree. The only time that Naomi's bass got savaged, and I think all of us could have got savaged, was on Instagram. Some fellow took real offence to the bridge, to the dual-saddled bridge. It was quite something. I had to ban him in the end. 50-odd messages. And then he emailed us. He found our email.
Are you serious?
Yeah. He wrote something like, you know, having a pop at the Brit, like saying about how it didn't intonate, and Naomi responded being like, yeah, it's not really the point of it. And he absolutely went off on one about how important intonation is and how it's you know, it's ridiculous that, like, oh dear, yeah. It was very long and very and awful. And I ended up just being like, even Philip from the 40 Watt podcast, he even got involved sort of trying to be like, hold on there, son. But, you know, the guy
hold
the guy
on there, sonny.
I just don't, I mean, if you don't like something, just carry on scrolling. Oh, do you know what I mean? Like, it is completely baffling to me how anybody has got the time to get upset by that sort of thing.
I know.
Absolutely.
The wild west out there. But yes, after I banned him, he did look up our website, find our contact form and let me know a little bit more how he felt. So that was
really
good.
It really sent you that many messages?
Yeah, it was. If they're all deleted off of our Instagram, but I think Instagram still says like the total amount of comments that were on that post even after they've been deleted. So I think there are something like 50, 60 comments on that, and obviously all of his you can't see now because I just removed them all. But yeah, it was quite something.
Wow,
quite a day.
That is, yeah.
Quite a day.
All because you're having a little bit of fun putting together some nice little basses.
Oh yeah.
People, he
hated that we'd put aesthetics above intonation. Yeah, it was
always put. I mean, I put the look of a delay pedal over its functionality.
Oh yeah,
this looks great. It'd be look on my great pedal board that I never play.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, look at, just think of your big old memory, man, that you probably haven't used in...
Oh, no, I use that all the time. It's, you know, it still works 50% of the time, but, you know, when it does work, it's probably great.
Well, anyway, let's do some news. Let's switch into that section of the podcast. Jake,
you kept referring to it as a jingle. What it is you saying
news.
I like it. It brings a smile to my face, but it reminds me of I was going to say happier days, but not happier days. I'm much happier now. But, you know, it reminds me of some fun times.
Right, right. I see. Well, I'll bring it back.
Fun, is fun the right word? I'm not sure. Anyway, it's, you know.
Sometimes that happens.
Sometimes.
anyway, yeah, so let's do the news. Jay Quest, I'll let you choose. We can either kick things off with Boss or with Line 6. It's up to you.
Well, seeing as the main man's here, I think it would be remiss of us not to start with the Line 6.
So the DL4 has got a revamp. Can you believe it? I can't believe... I mean, the reason I said Boss or Line 6, to be honest, is because I can't believe the DL4 Mark II has come out. And at the same time, I appreciate they're different products. The Boss Space Echo has been reinvented with the 202. Just two, I mean, very, very different products. Both delays, but very, very different products. But I feel like both incredibly important and pedals that did a similar thing in that they lasted much longer than products normally do. You know, the Space Echo, the RE20's been in production for how long, Matt? The original
one? Well, not as long as the DL4, but I think 2007, so still 15 years.
It's a big old time, and I feel like it's one of the pedals that stood the test of time. Like, it almost like amazing that there's these new versions, and some of the features look absolutely fantastic. But it was a pedal that was still amazing. The 20, it was still on everyone's board. It's still our keyboard player's main delay, and you know, it was a fantastic pedal. And the same with the DL4, it was a weird delay that outlasted when most people would update it, and was still well thought of and respected. Both pedals were very, very well respected. When I think delays and reverbs have, you know, you have to have the latest one. That's how I feel about that effects type. That's how people who are into delay and reverb have to have the latest one with the latest algorithms. But in the case of the RE20 and the DL4, you know, they were cool anyway.
I think there's a few pedals that have reached that level. I guess another one is probably the Strymon Timeline. You know, that's 10 years old.
That's scary.
10 years old now as well. But yeah, I think the DL4, I think on a with my work hat on, a probably unfortunate release timing for them, literally 2 days before the RE came out. I thought it was funny though, because obviously the RE2 sort of leaked, and then Nuex or Nux were like, oh, well, here's our Space Echo pedal. And then like a week later, Line 6 were like, and here's the DL4. And then we were like, and here's the RE202. So it's sort of like a game of top trumps, delay top trumps. But I think it's brave. You know, to take on and reissue a pedal with such legacy. You know, I know, yes, the RE20 is popular, but the DL4 is like, it's a modern, iconic pedal. You know, I would say that most pedals, most, you know, dare I say legendary pedals, tend to be quite old, you know, and kind of like, you know, the latest you tend to see is maybe some things like the Klon, which were like the early 90s when they first came out. But this is like, this was what, 2001? You know, and you just think, man, that's a big step to kind of go, we're doing another one. Because the old one isn't broken. You know, it's got its quirks, and, you know, some people are like, oh, the foot switches aren't very good. But people are still using them and touring them, and it's still a set, you know, it was still selling. So I think it must have been a huge challenge to go, what do we do to make sure that we don't change what already works, but add enough that makes people want to go, I'll buy a new one. And I think they've added some quite cool features to it. I think they obviously had to change the design. They've probably made the design better and more practical for mass manufacturer, but I'm like, when you've looked at the old one for so long, you're a bit like, oh, really? But I like the fact they've added like the Helix style stomp switches, so you've got the kind of
the touch control,
the LED rings around them. I think that's quite cool. I like the fact you can have more delay time. I like the fact that, you know, really they're building on their HX you know, platform. Yeah. So it's kind of all the delays and reverbs that are in things like the HX Stomp and the Helix. You know, they can take that platform and they can build it into another pedal, which I think is well, very cool.
Well, one of the things that they've built in that certainly, you know, comes from the larger Helix, which I thought was also a great idea that shows that they've been listening to people who use DL4s, is a mic input.
Yeah.
On the DL4 to, you know, to make it easily used. And that's not just for vocalists, that's for, you know, any horn instruments or anything like that as well. It's just this was a pedal that was used for so much more than just guitar. And adding a mic input on it, I think, is odd, but fantastic. A very cool addition.
I think it's really telling here, fellas, that you are going around the houses and ignoring the big change on the DL4 here, and, like, you know, momentous change, and that is it's now powered by standard 9-volt DC.
Indeed, indeed.
Input.
There's no batteries for this one. You can't battery power.
But you can't
it
use the and I've it, was it a P, it was the PX2, wasn't it? It was the old
PX2,
power supply that you needed for,
yep.
PX2, absolute classic power supply.
Yeah, it was that or 22 triple A's, wasn't it?
No, yeah. It was, well, obviously four of the C batteries.
The big fellas. But yeah, now it's powered by, you can run it off a regular you know, DC brick or something without having to use an adapter cable. It's absolutely mad.
How times have
mad.
Changed.
Nobody's talking about this. It's so exciting.
And MIDI? Was MIDI a thing
no,
on the original?
No, MIDI's new.
Sorry, guys. Can we just go back to the power supply for a sec? This is just it's unbelievable. You can just any power supply will power it now. Like, what are you talking about MIDI for? You could run it. You could run this off a Line 6, off of a Boss PSA 230. Absolutely incredible. Really, really. I'm so excited.
Yeah, it's I think they've definitely. I'm not a massive fan of the amount of text they've put on on the front panel next to, because they're like, oh, it's got 15 modes and 15 hidden modes, but you need to know what they are. So they've put it all on all on the front, which I'm a bit like, I don't think that was necessary. But the, I guess it's nice that they've kind of got. It's like got two loopers, so you can have mono or stereo, or you can have pre or post, which I think is quite cool. But they've increased the looping time, which is cool. But I think the limitation of the original looper was part of its charm, because obviously people were like, I've got 10 seconds. And then they're like, oh, I can put it in half time, or I can put it in double speed. And you watch someone like Nick Reinhardt, or, you know, the guy from Dave Knudsen from Minus the Bear, and they're like, they've taken that limitation and turned that into something really creative. And I think by increasing that delay time, you've basically just built a looper in it, rather than, I don't know, that's just a small thing for me. I'm like, it's good that it's got a looper in it, but I think people bought a DL4 because of how limited that looper actually was.
I hear what you're saying, and it's definitely one of the things that makes the DL4 what the DL4 is. I do feel like if they'd have kept it the same, people have been like, why with all the tech that
exactly,
we have?
Exactly, yeah.
but yeah, very cool. A very, very cool to see a modernization of the DL4. You know, one of the absolute most important delay pedals ever to be built. Let's talk about the Boss RE202 and the RE2. These are very exciting things. Of course, they got leaked like on the day of your stag do, Matt.
They did.
So everyone at your stag do who worked for Boss spent like half of the first evening there on their phones.
Yeah, well, actually, just the RE2 got leaked. And then obviously lots of comments were like, oh, I wish it had like, you know, obviously lots of things that ended up being in the RE2, but also, oh God, why don't you make a bigger one? Because I want a bigger one. I'm like, oh, you have no idea. I've had these pedals since the beginning of December. So I've had to like sit on them for ages, but it's also mean I've had loads of time to mess around with it. And They are simply incredible. you know, the great thing with this is that it's not just an RE20 in a different box. It's not the algorithm that was in the GT1000 or anything like that. It's a completely redesigned and remodeled capture of this, of an RE201. And I think one of the stories that I was discussing with one of the engineers is they were testing the tape, and the tape, the original tape was sold to have like 300 hours worth of playtime on it. And they put a brand new tape in, and on the last day of modeling, they broke the tape. So it was at least like 300, I think it was like 300 or 3000 hours worth of like audio passed through like a single tape in terms of the amount that they modeled and stuff. Wow. And in, you know, broke it down into so many layers and just really rebuilt the whole sound from the ground up. So the RE2 and the RE202 have effectively the same sound engine, the same core sound, but you can do so much more with the 202. So the compact RE2 is more like a 201 in the fact that it has 11 modes, it has a reverb, and then obviously wow and flutter. And you can,
I assume you can't do like the sort of wah thing on the smaller
on the oscillation tape. Yeah, you can just turn the delay time, you can just turn the repeats all the way up. And
oh no, but do you remember you could do it with the second foot?
Yes, you can.
On the
so
20.
If you if you plug in an expression pedal or a non-latching foot switch into the tap tempo input, you can still do the kind of oscillation type thing, which is cool. But obviously the fact that you can do it now with an expression pedal is very cool. And you can also turn the preamp modeling on and off as well. So obviously a part of the reason a lot of people use the 201 is because of the preamp inside and the way it drives an amp. You know, obviously people like Brian Setzer use 301s, using that as a preamp into kind of a Fender amp to help drive it a little bit more. And then the 202 has all of that and more. So you've actually got a physical control for the saturation. You can change the tape age between new and aged. You've got a fourth tape head, so you've got different rhythmic delay patterns. And I like the fact that on the 202, you can turn the reverb and the delay on and off separately.
You could do that on the 20,
couldn't you? No. It was the 20 was very much the settings on the panel were the same as the 201. So you had four.
You could run reverb on its own.
Yes, right? But you can on the 201, but you could never turn the reverb off separately. So this has got three buttons, but one button does delay on and off, and another one, if you hold it down, will turn reverb on and off. Cool. And it also has five different reverb modes. So if you don't want to use the original spring, you'd rather have a Hall reverb, you can boot it up in a bunch of different ways, and you can have different reverb types on it. But
So you've made it a bit more versatile as well. That's
yeah,
cool.
Just
so it doesn't have to just be a Space Echo, it can be something.
Yeah, and I think the fact that you can do, like, you know, you don't have to have the tape aging, you can turn the wow and flutter off, and it's very much like a brand new 201. It's a little bit more sort of high fidelity and, you know, a little bit crisper. And then obviously if you put the tape aging on and crank up the saturation, you can do some, you know, kind of more of the vintage stuff. And then you've got different tape echo tape head modes as well for different rhythmic patterns. But at the core, it's very much a, you know, a proper 201 sound. And having A-B'd it with mine, you just get so close. It's just such a nice experience. And I run it on a pedal board with I'm running it on like a Boss pedal board that I've built for work, and controlling loads of it off MIDI. So the fact that you've got a bunch of different presets, you know, is obviously really good, because you can have a whole bunch of different tape echo sounds depending on what sort of sound you want. So it's a really, really, for anyone who wants a Space Echo sound, it's a great unit. But anyone who doesn't want all of the complications, the 2 does such a great job just in a compact pedal. And that's what that's what I think is really cool, is the fact that you can take that now and put it on a pedal board that's a little bit more pedal board friendly, because there isn't really anyone doing a Space Echo. I mean, you've got things like Strymon El Capistan, I guess, that's like, you know, more like the Echoplex or Tape Echoes, but no one's really done a Space Echo. until NewX kind of went, here's our Space Echo 2 weeks before ours came out. We're like, sorry, guys, exactly. We're already ahead of you.
Well, I mean, this is very exciting. I don't know if we should just cancel Gear of the Year. Because I can't see how anything's going to.
It's going to come down to the two, isn't it?
The DL4 versus the RE2.
It's going to come down to the two.
It's absolutely going to be that, and they're both going to have the same argument, aren't they? Like, how can we ignore the amount of heritage there is surrounding this product and how good it sounds? It's going to be DL4 versus RE202.
RE2 versus RE202. That's what I'm.
We'll see. I guess really it all comes down to who pays me the most. But we'll find out at the end of this year, I guess, dear listener. But that is, in fact, dear listener, all the time we have on this week's episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast. You can join us on Patreon. Come over and hang out with us on patreon.com/guitar nerds. We're going to go there now for an entire extra episode, and you can listen to an entire extra episode every week. You can become a supporter from as little as a dollar. At the dollar tier, you get this episode ad-free and early. $5 gets you access to our Patreon special episodes and our back catalogue. $10, you get the lot, plus I sing you my thanks at the end of every episode. You can find us all. You can find us on all of the social media platforms that exist, and join the Guitar Nerds group on Facebook. Get involved in our weekly episode discussion. Thank you for listening. You've been lovely. We've been the Guitar Nerds. Farewell.
Cheers, goodbye. Gang.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.